Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. It is because of Christ's sacrifice, and we'll get to this in just a moment, it is because Christ's merit, what he did and what he has done, that we can stand here in 2024 and declare ourselves that we are the righteousness of God, that we are literally right in right standing with God, that when God looks at me, God looks at you, he does not see our past, does not see all the mistakes and the sin in our life that once separated us from him. But when we said yes to Jesus, we said yes to the sacrifice. We said yes to the crucifixion. We said yes to the resurrection of Jesus. And now when God the Father looks at us, he looks at us through the prism of Jesus Christ. I shared this with the lead team last week in our time of devotion. I don't know if I got to it in the message. But the God of the Old Testament is the same God that still exists today. In the Old Testament, you see in times of judgment that God literally opened the earth and swallowed up thousands of people. We see the Old Testament God show up in the New Testament one time that I can recall, and that is when Ananias and Sapphira lied about their gift and the money when they sold a piece of property, and the Bible says that they were struck dead just like that. However, we live in a dispensation where God is not striking people dead. And the only reason he doesn't strike us dead now because of our sin or because of how we're living or what we're doing on Friday before we come in here on Sunday or Wednesday is simply because now Jesus doesn't look at us naked. He looks at us now that we are clothed with the robe of righteousness. He looks at us through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that God looks at you now that you've been covered with the blood of Jesus and not uncovered? One of the biggest determining factors when we talk about living righteous compared to rightish is perspective. Perspective is being able to see things how God sees them. Last week we talked about a selfish perspective leads to rightish living. A cloudy perspective leads to rightish living. And a carnal perspective, living by the flesh and by the five senses of the flesh, leads us to rightish instead of righteous. Our perspective must be viewed through the prism of God's presence and Christ's person. Proverbs 14:12, I love this in the NLT. It says, there is a path before each person that seems right. I'm glad that I'm not on a path that I hope is right. But my hope, we sang about it today, that our hope is an anchor, praise God, in the waves. That no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going on around us, that we have an anchor that is Jesus Christ, and we are not on a path that we hope is right. We are on a path that at the end of our life, whether it is through the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes back, or when we take our last breath on this earth, I know that I know that I know. That's why the Bible says, make sure your calling and election are sure, because we are on the right path. That is the difference. Rightish relies on what we see, but righteous relies on the vision of what God sees. Righteous, the definition, the Greek is diakaiosune, which means it is fundamentally connected and associated with the concept of justice. When I've heard righteousness preached, most of the times you never hear the word justice. But that is exactly what it means. It stems from the Greek word dikaios, which means equity of character and action. Not of who we are, but because of who he is. Can I tell you that there is a great rest that comes in understanding that we are the righteousness of God. That there is nothing that I could do to save myself, but I rest in the fact knowing that Jesus paid it all. And that when I accept his payment and rest in that righteousness that I am now and that you are now, it is an incredible rest. It is why we have peace in the middle of calamity. It is the reason we have joy that makes no sense because of what we're facing and what we're going through. That is the kind of character that God is because of who he is, his character and his action, what he did. His character changes our character. Because of who he is, we are now a new creation. We'll eventually get there in this series. Not only does it change who we are, because I am the righteousness of God, because you are as well, it changes what we do. How many of you can honestly say, I am not who I used to be, therefore I don't do what I used to do? You don't react in traffic how you used to react. You don't talk to your spouse how you used to talk to them. You don't put substances up your nose, down your throat, or in your veins that you used to. Sitting in a church service, you don't react like you used. You're not making your grocery list right now. And if you are, shame on you. Because you are the righteousness of God. It changes who we are and what we do. After we come to Jesus and declare him as our Savior and Lord, God doesn't judge us based on our merit, church, or what we have done. But God judges us, and we have already been judged based on Christ's merit and what he has done. And so all we have to do is accept the perfect gift of salvation, which brings us in right standing and brings us to be the righteousness of God, and then it will change who we are. Last week we concluded, and here we go with some new material. We concluded talking about righteousness, whereas God judges us based on Christ's merit. The equity, it stresses the equity, the impartiality, the fairness, and the action that implies the concept of justice. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Which brings us to the point that the righteousness of God is not just for transformation. And I love the fact that God's righteousness has made me different and made you different than we used to be. However, there is something just as powerful as the transformation, and it's the word forensic. Now, the word forensic as it relates to righteousness, I'm not talking about the forensic files that you see on TV. I'm not talking about fingerprints, and I'm not talking about DNA and blood tests as the world sees it. When we say forensic in this topic, we're talking about related as it is used in a court of law or in the judicial process. An easier way to understand it and to say it would be this. We were all born sinners. We were all shaped in iniquity. We were guilty as charged. The evidence, church, was stacked against us. But Jesus took our sin on himself. Jesus took our place, praise God. He sacrificed and laid down his life. He shed his blood, which is the only blood that could be shed to redeem our lives. He died a bloody and gruesome death, laid in the ground for 3 days and was resurrected. And he did all of that. So in 2024, October 9th, you and I could stand in San Antonio, Texas and declare, I am the righteousness of God. Nothing I did, but everything he did. Paul contrasts the righteousness by faith to righteousness by works. I've said this so many times, church, that if you could save yourself, you would have already done it. If you could heal yourself, you would have already done it. If you could walk in deliverance on your own, you would have already done it. Ordinarily, when you talk about the judicial system, people are declared to be righteous or at least right-ish in human courts based on their good behavior. You know, there are people that have killed people who have got their sentence drastically reduced because they were good in prison. When I'm thinking, I don't really care how good you are in there. You have already proven that out here on these streets that you haven't been good enough. That's why you are where you are. I'm not saying that you can't be redeemed, restored, and that you can't be put back together and given a second chance. But what I'm saying is that the courts that are laws in this country, that your good behavior and the way you act carries a lot of weight. However, that is what they think. But the Word of God says that there is none righteous. The Word of God says, and we'll eventually get to it in this series, that our righteousness in the eyes of God, what we think is right, is filthy rags. There's only one righteousness that counts, and you cannot get it by what you do. That is, if they do what is good, they are declared to be right in the eyes of the law. But if they did what is evil, they are condemned. Paul, however, maintains that this is not how it works in the kingdom of God. Because you have to believe in Jesus and receive Jesus to become the righteousness of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 3. For the scripture tells us, Abraham believed God. How many of you believed God? I believed God and I believe God. I believed in him enough to save me, and now I believe in him enough to live for him. I believed in him enough to save me so that I'm going to heaven, but I believe in him enough on a Wednesday night to keep me from doing things that are going to separate me from Christ. Why? Because I am the righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous, not because of his works, because of his faith. Remember Abraham, y'all, again, flawed people turn into faithful people. It's an amazing thing, and I'm glad because I was flawed and now I'm faithful. But remember, Abraham was a liar. Abraham sold his wife out. There's another word I can use, but I don't think it would be prudent. But he sold his wife out in a lie to keep himself alive. When God said, you're going to have a son, and your son, out of your son, is going to come generations of blessing and generations of people. The first moment where he got impatient, he jumped into bed with his maidservant. We're talking about a man who, if we are looking at his works, he failed. But he is not called the father of works. He is called the father of faith, which I've come to encourage somebody today. And if you're wondering why the X is still here, because X marks the spot for the righteousness of God. If you're here on Sunday at 11, it won't be here this Sunday at 9, but it'll be back at 11. Because this is the spot. This is where God is. This is the will of God. This is where he's called us to be. If you were here on Wednesday at 11, go check it out. It'll bless you. And you can watch Garrett struggle tearing the tape. And Tyler said, that was my roll of tape. But once he put on his mouth on that roll of tape, he goes, that's Garrett's roll of tape now. But I'm glad that I know that you and I know that we stand here, that we are now the righteousness of God. Aren't you glad that Abraham proved to us that you're not righteous by what you do? You can have a past and still have a future of faith. You can have a past of flaws and still, I'm talking to some people that there's some shame in your life, and we're going to get there in just a minute. There's some things you've done that the devil has been lying to you saying, that's keeping the right. No, you are the righteousness of God, not because of what you did or didn't do, but because of what Christ did. And you and I can now stand here in faith and say, I am the righteousness of God. Counted him as righteous because of his faith. Verse 4, when people work, their wages are not a gift. Wouldn't you be mad if on Friday, on payday, your boss wrapped your check, your payment up in a gift and said, hey, I wanted to give you something today. Just wanted to tell. No, I earned that. You don't need to wrap it. You know, automatic deposit's fine with me. Just get me the money. It's not a gift. I've been here 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours. I've been here 10 years. You're not giving me something. I earned that. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. But people are counted as righteous not because of their work. This is something we got to learn, church. We've got to rest in righteousness. It's not something we've earned. Quit trying to earn what God has freely given. Just accept the gift. But because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. So now we know no one can be righteous by works before God, for all have fallen short of what God requires. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, which means this: all of us were not righteous, but God has given us a path to become righteous. Remember, there are paths that seem righteous, but they are not righteous. They're going to lead to destruction, Proverbs says. But you're on the right path tonight if you're following Jesus. If you said yes to Jesus, you're on the right path, and it doesn't matter what you've done because we rest in what he did. Righteousness by faith then must refer to as the gift of righteousness given to men by God. Number one about righteous that we're going to jump into. We'll get to two hopefully in just a minute. Number one, we are righteous by faith. I love anything that says by faith. Because by faith is the greatest equalizer in human history. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on, what socioeconomic side you were born on, what political structure, what country, what city, what time period, what color, what age, what demographic. Doesn't matter if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Doesn't matter if you were born with no money in the bank account. Doesn't matter if you were born into a Christian family or a non-Christian family. When we say by faith, it is the great equalizer because it says this: faith doesn't matter where you start. Faith helps you get to where God has called you to be, no matter where you start. We are righteous by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, there that word is again, shall live by faith. The righteousness of God, listen to this, church, the righteousness of God shows up in the middle of our faith. So the more faithful we are, the greater revelation of righteousness we receive. It is hard to live a righteous life void of faith. If you're going to be righteous, you have to live in faith. If you're going to stand and say, I am the righteousness of God, what you're saying is I put all of my faith, not in man, not in myself, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God shows up in the middle of our faith in Christ. So many times, listen to this, please. So many times we want faith to produce a money miracle. So many times we want faith to produce a miracle of physical healing. But you and I should want strong faith so that we can receive the great miracle of the gift of righteousness by faith. Your faith is not just to make your bank account bigger. It's not just to call those things that are not in your body as though they are. Your faith and my faith literally gives me a revelation that I am and I have received the righteousness of God. Goes on to say, the just shall live by faith. There, that word is again, just, righteousness, justice, synonymous, justice, equitable, impartial, fair. We just read Romans chapter 1, verse 17, but let's go to verse 16. Very familiar portion of scripture. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first and also to the Greek. This verse gives great context to verse 17. Verse 17 says that we are the righteousness of God, revealed faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. And the verse preceding it says, I am not ashamed. That means shame, listen to this, church, is a direct result of not understanding that we are the righteousness of God, or that we have not received the gift of righteousness through faith. Please listen to me, and I'm not naive that you've gone through some things. I'm not naive that you've battled or maybe are still battling some things. But here's the thing. You can either have shame or you can be the righteousness of God, but you cannot be both. You cannot walk in shame with your head held down and still say, I'm the righteousness of God. Because when I say I'm the righteousness of God, remember, I am declaring to the world, I'm declaring all of heaven and all of hell, I'm putting every demon and every demonic force on notice. I know where I was, I know what I used to be, I know what I used to do, but that shame is not attached to me any longer. Why? I've had a revelation that I am the righteousness of God. That is why what he did on the cross, I claim. I put on that robe of righteousness to let everybody know that I used to walk in shame because of what I've been through, but I am not that person anymore. I and you are a new creation in Christ. I am not ashamed because I now have the revelation that I am the righteousness of God. Let Living Way always be a beacon of light and hope and declaration in your life that you are the righteousness of God. When you're out there and the world tries to tell you different, when you come into this place, you are the righteousness of God. It doesn't matter what you've done. All that matters is what Jesus has done and that you accept that finished and perfect work that was given on Calvary. The righteous are not ashamed, and the ashamed are not righteous. That's a tough thing to say, because I know shame is something very real that our culture deals with because of what we've been through. We feel dirty. We don't feel worthy. I've got news for you. We were not worthy. That tells you how much love God had for us, that while we were yet still sinners, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us to unleash righteousness. So we read verse 17, then we went to 16 for context. Let's go to verse 18 for context. For the wrath of God, man, that's a phrase that we don't preach about a lot in 2024. The wrath of God, remember, this is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. I don't want the wrath of God on anybody, but I sure don't want it at my house. And the word of God is very clear here. You don't even got to go to the Greek and Hebrew. He says the wrath of God is reserved for the ungodly and the unrighteous. For the ones that have not received and walk in that perfect work called righteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous of men. Listen to the last part of that verse. Who hold the truth, yet are still unrighteous. There is a special wrath for people that know what to do and still don't do it. That have been to the cross, yet still make unrighteous decisions. That have perhaps been to the upper room, yet are still embracing unrighteous living. They know the truth, they hold the truth, but they will not allow the truth of Christ to change how they live. Can I tell you, if you've got substance addiction, if you've got habits, if you've got things that you are struggling with, Living Way is your church. And we are going to point you to the cross. And we are going to point you to a delivering Jesus. And we are going to introduce you to a power that is the Holy Spirit that can free you. However, if you come to this church for a year and you don't change, it is nobody's fault but you, and you have embraced an unrighteous lifestyle, and Living Way is not going to stroke your ego and dance around the truth. We are not going to pull punches and sugarcoat things. We are going to tell you God has called you out so that God can call you up. God has called you out so that God can call you forward. This could be a call to righteousness tonight, to stop living like you're living, because it's bringing hell to your life and will drag you straight to hell. This is a call to righteousness, that I know the truth and I have allowed it to set me free. You're not going to hear this at most churches, especially in the U.S., because we're just preaching bigger and better instead of stronger and deeper. I want to encourage you today, do not embrace unrighteous. Do not embrace unrighteous things in this world. Do not compromise holiness. Do not compromise the way God has called us to live. Don't you remember that we have been called to be separate? We have been called out. The Bible says, what fellowship does darkness have with light? That we cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Somebody say amen. Number one was we are righteous by faith. Number two, righteousness, and I'm almost out of time, is a judicial declaration. What does that mean? It's a declaration of justice. We know this because of the link that Paul makes many times, especially in the book of Romans. I had a great conversation. It was received very, very greatly with a young man that put something on Facebook that was totally in the wrong. Just heresy. But I didn't come at him publicly. I messaged him with scripture. I said, just, hey, concerning your last post, that couldn't be more wrong. And what it was about was adding or deleting some of the Word of God. The post was about taking books out of the Bible and this and that. And I said, just so you know, that once you add or delete from God's word, it is no longer God's holy word. You have robbed it of all of its power. And like I said, he received it great. Thank you so much. Never thought of it that way. And then he brought up, he said, you know, he said, there's a lot of people, or he said, they want to take James and Romans out of the Bible. To which I I replied, and he asked me, what do you think about them trying to take? And I said, you answered your own question. I don't care what they want to do. I don't even know who they are, and I don't care who they are. I know that Jesus gave us this word, inspired by God, 66 books, Genesis to Revelation, that all of it was protected, and all of it was God took care of it for the last 6,000 years, 2,000 years since the gospel. Everything that needs to be in there is in there. Everything that doesn't need to be there is not in there. But when it's amazing that we're taking this trip through Romans, and this young man was talking about them trying to, man, if you take Romans out, you're doing away with the righteousness of God. Because Romans is all about Paul talking to the Romans who had built an entire religious system on what could be done and not what they believed. And Paul is now transferring their belief. Now it's not what you do. Can I talk to some former Catholics in the room? You were raised a lot based on what you do. And can I encourage you, what you do is important, but it all has to be founded on who you believe in and what he did, and then we move from that and we do great things, but we are not saved or righteous by what we do. Here's what he says, righteousness, there's a direct link between righteousness and forgiveness. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Let's go just a little further. He was handed over to die because of our sins. Talking about Jesus. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. Here's a simple but profound statement talking about forgiveness and righteousness. You know how I know I'm righteous? And you know how you know you're righteous? Because you've been forgiven. I don't know if that means anything to you like it hit me when God gave that to me. He said, I can prove that you're righteous because I forgave you. Without forgiveness, there is no righteousness. The reason I can stand here and say, in spite of my past, church, despite all of my current flaws, church, the reason I can stand here and with bass in my voice, with my chest held out and my head up high and say, I am the righteousness of God, is because if God forgave me, that means he invested something in me, and he did not forgive me and leave me here to be a poor representation of him and his kingdom. So the reason that you and I can stand here and say I am the righteousness of God is because we are forgiven. And when people come and remind you about your past, that should actually excite you because they're reminding you of all the things that you were forgiven of. That just means the righteousness of God is so much more real to me now. Who much has been forgiven. Come on now. That gives us a great appreciation. Somebody stand on your feet tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to tie all this together tonight before we move on to the next one next week. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'm reading the New Living Translation. How many of you love Romans chapter 8? Love it. One of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. So many great things. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give up everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Man, this is a great word. This is God's guarantee. Doesn't matter who stands against you. What really matters is who's standing for you, who's standing with you. I love this because it brings great context to one of the greatest verses that I have heard quoted and preached about hundreds and thousands of times. If God be for me, who can be it? This is a righteousness scripture. Check this out. God says it doesn't matter who stands against you. If you understand who stands with you. And if you understand who stands with you, who stands against you won't matter because you are standing right with God. So when I look at the enemy, an enemy is anybody that stands against the God in me. But when I see the enemy come up, I know that God is standing with me. And then when I realize that I understand that God is on my side, that means that I'm on God's side, which means I am standing or in right standing with Him, which means I understand that I am the righteousness. This is an amazing, amazing truth that Paul breaks down. Two more verses. One more verse, verse 34. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us, and He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand. The NLT says pleading. King James Version says making intercession for us. Man, I hope you receive this the way I did when God gave it to me. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. This is the final point. He says, Simon, Simon, be careful. The enemy wants to sift you as wheat. But what did He tell Peter? But I am praying for you. He's not praying about his situation. What was he praying for? I'm praying for his faith. Righteousness is given by faith. What Jesus is telling Simon Peter in this moment is I'm praying for your faith so that you will remember that you're the righteousness of God. Said the reason you're being sifted is the enemy would love for you to forget whose you are. Would love to make you forget who you are in Christ. Who is for you. So he said, with everything going on, I'm praying for your faith. I ministered that to someone right over here a couple services ago. I says, isn't it awesome that this church is praying for you? That's incredible. Isn't it great that prayer partners come and pray? But I said, you know what the greatest thought ever is? That Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding. And He's interceding for you and me, but I want to talk about me because I matter to me, praise God. You do too, but I really matter to me. No one prays for Brandon like Brandon except Jesus. But the fact that Jesus is praying, Father, let his faith remain strong, because a strong faith gives way to the strong revelation of righteousness. And if he remembers who he is in Christ and who Christ is in him, it will not matter what comes his way. He will be able to declare, I am the righteousness of God. I want to open this altar right now for maybe those of you that this revelation of righteous, you've heard that word, but now it's time to embrace that word, that you are the righteousness of God. That shame, that your past does not have any place here. That what you did once you said yes to Jesus as Savior, that thing is under the blood. You are now the righteousness of God. I won't go through the links of telling the hitman story, but it's the greatest story that Dad has ever told about the hitman next door that came down to the front of the building and asked pastor, he said, if someone's ever killed somebody, can they go to heaven? And just goes back and forth, until finally we find out he is a hitman in the Mexican mafia. Has killed dozens of people. And then he asked Bishop, he said, I got one more question for you. He said, will you hold my shirt down while I lift my hands, because he said, I got my gun tucked in the waistband. And pastor led him to Christ. Here was a man who was struggling with what he did, but he hadn't realized that whatever Jesus did has outdone whatever we could ever do. So this altar is filled with a dozen people in this room that have come down, and I want to encourage everybody in this altar today. I don't know what you're struggling with, and I know it's been heavy on your mind, your heart. It's affected you physically in some ways, carrying that weight, those decisions, things that you've gone through. But I'm here to tell you, you are the righteousness of God. If you've said yes to Jesus, you are the righteousness. If you have never said yes to Jesus, we can make that happen in the next 2 minutes. And there's a weight that is going to be lifted off of your spirit. But I'm going to tell those of you in this room, in this altar, online tonight that are watching, you are the righteousness of God. Shame cannot stay. You are the righteousness. Jesus today is praying for your faith. So my prayer tonight is simply this. I'm praying for your faith to surge tonight. I'm praying for that revelation of righteousness from faith to faith, that equitable, that justice that only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, the great balancer in life. It tips the scales in our favor. Man, I feel like God, right here, I've talked to you before in the black hat and red shorts, but I feel like God is doing some things. There's some things that you've been holding on to, but tonight you're going to let those things go. And I know sometimes as a man, we want to hold on to those things and try to fix it ourselves, and it's hard for us to give control, but tonight you're giving control to a God that loves you and has been waiting on you to let those things go. Brother Robert, can you step around and begin to pray with him? I'm going to step down and add my faith. I'm done. If you need Jesus tonight, you haven't received salvation, this is your moment. You can't declare you're the righteousness of God outside of a relationship with Jesus. He came to give righteousness to everybody. It is available to everybody, but you've got to follow Jesus and accept him. This is your moment to do just that. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. This is that moment. Maybe right now in this room, you struggled with decisions of your past. Let's change it right now. You're the righteousness. You're the righteousness of God. Forgiveness, faith. All of the things that you need are found right here in this moment with Jesus. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're ready to be baptized in water, if you need to be healed, delivered, this is your moment. We're waiting on you. If you're watching online, right where you're watching from today, invite Jesus into that room. Wherever you're watching from today, lift your hands and just start declaring, I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I think it'd be great for everybody in the room to just lift their hands to heaven, close your eyes, and just begin to declare that I am the righteousness of God. Remember, Jesus is praying for your faith tonight so that you can have that revelation and hold on to it. Let's pray.